Well, Brother Waleed's on the phone with us this morning. How are you doing, Brother Waleed?
Good morning. I'm well by God's grace. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. I publicly apologize. I have not been able to get back with you on getting you here to Kentucky. It has just been a crazy
All
couple
right.
weeks, and
You
I
got
publicly repent to you, my brother.
it. You don't need to do that. It's God's timing, man. I know you're very busy. Definitely praying for you and your family and the ministry. Yep, God's timing is always perfect.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
And we feel the prayers, and we always appreciate your prayers. And I know Hannah want me to pass it on to you that I don't know if she's told you or not, but she's had her little baby, little Ezra. So,
That's exciting. We got to get her address where we can mail some package or goodies for her, that little new gift she got.
no,
That's exciting.
he is precious, and they got the first time parent joy, and so. For sure.
They got hit with a storm, huh?
I don't think they were ready for the sleep schedule, that's for sure.
What sleep?
Yeah,
What sleep?
exactly.
Oh,
What's that for?
that's right. Well, tell us a little bit how everything's going on in your world, Brother Waleed. What's going on? What's the Lord doing?
Lord's always doing something. We're just trying to follow the
Amen.
part that he wants us to be involved in what he's doing. It's not what we'd want to do and ask God to bless it. It's really, it's what he wants and us being submitted to that. I've been preaching up at the Pennsylvania Recovery Program. The ministry there is going good. The opportunities to preach the gospel to those who are coming out of addictions, bondages, seeing the power of God touch people with the gospel is always encouraging, and the freedom that the word is alive, it is powerful, and it sets the captives free. We don't need the power of man and their efforts, but we look to God who created us, and when we're deformed in our sin, it's the power of his blood and the gospel that brings the captives free. And I'm thankful to be a small part of that, proclaiming the gospel to them. And it's always humbling to see the Holy Spirit move and touch hearts and lives and encounter the encounters people have with God and the growth, the discipleship that continues after that. I think so many today want to have an experience. And, certainly nothing wrong with coming to an altar. Altar calls, I'm an evangelist, so I like having altar calls. But when we're coming just for that one time experience, not making daily decisions to walk with the Holy Spirit, to die to ourselves, I think there's a misnomer sometimes. And, hey, I sensed God, I felt free that day. And then the very next day, people wake up and then they have to face that. Look, I got to make, they'll have to be taught, I got to make different choices. It's not enough just to have an encounter. An encounter can set your feet right and your heart in the right direction, of course, but the daily choices to die, to be disciples, to learn how to say no to ourselves and yes to God and the Word of God. And I think there's a lot more of that. But anyway, so then a couple weeks or so, I'll be heading to Ethiopia assisting my brother on a mass leadership book distribution to about 2,500 churches there. Yeah, you guys can keep us in prayer for that trip. It would be a blessing. I think we'll be preaching over there some. So it's a one denomination. They got about 2,500 churches there, affiliated with a friend of ours who has 4,000 churches, same denomination in Kenya. We already distributed to all of them. So right now the book distribution is approaching, I think we got almost 300,000 books out right now. Two pastors, upcoming pastors in these other nations. And it's exciting to see the doors opening. My brother's leaving Saturday to Central America. And that's a meeting of the World Assemblies of God and of all the Central and South American nations that are meeting there, that he got invited there to pitch the books there. So we're just seen the Lord open doors beyond our natural capacity and wisdom and abilities, and for making the provision for these books to get free, to go out free in the hand of each one of these pastors, you know, and to another generation, which is, I know, in the heart of our general overseer of our ministry. And so it's exciting to see the Lord go before us and pray, you know, and that's the key, because the whole thing has been Spirit-led, and we really want it to continue. It's not in the networking. It's not trusting in our efforts, our angles. It's about really staying out of the way just to follow what the Lord has. And, you know, so those are a few things happening this month.
Yeah.
And keep appreciating it.
Yeah, we definitely will be praying into your trip and all the opening doors that God's opening, and I love that. And you said you're getting them in their hands for free. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot more we can share on that maybe another time. There's definitely a lot of exciting things happening through that.
Yes. Well, you said one thing right there, and I just want to pick it a little farther because I love what you said. You said, you know, if you're only coming to experience God at an altar one time, you know, we might be missing something there. And if you look at the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts and throughout, when somebody encountered the Lord, a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, they basically left with the people. Like, you know, they went, we're going to be discipled. We're going to learn. We're going to grow. And I'm thinking even like Simon the sorcerer with Philip, I think it was Philip, right? And Philip leads him to the Lord, and like he's like getting baptized, and he goes. Like he literally leaves everything and just follows Philip. Now, he said some foolish things to Peter there, but you know, that's not a one-off occurrence. It seems like there are, and like Paul, he stays for 3 years, I think, at Ephesus, just teaching every day to these people in the street. And I do, like, I love that about your heart, because as an evangelist, sometimes people just think, oh, I'm just going to get them saved and somebody else's responsibility, but you take discipleship very serious.
Well, when you look at the scriptures and the call of Christ on the, not just to the church, but to the individual believers that make up the church. I mean, Jesus, you don't necessarily see in the scriptures him saying, you know, repeat the sinner's prayer that we might use. He actually called people to follow him. And you see that with Matthew, Levi, they just left everything and followed him. You see it with the apostles. They even left Father Zebedee in the boat. They left their business, left dad in the boat and everything. They followed Jesus. So I think it goes to our modern concept today of what it is to be a Christian. And we can repeat the terms, you know, a disciplined follower of Christ. But really the call of God on the individual was they abandoned all. Uh-huh. And I think 1 Corinthians 6 is very clear. I bought you with a price, right? Titus goes on to say, you know, he paid our debt, you know, through his death that we could never pay. And he redeemed us to himself. People to be zealous for good works, right? Titus 2. And so I think it goes back to the fundamental understanding of Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. The day I gave my life to God, the day he touched me, the day I was born again. It's not a joint venture. It's a surrender to his lordship. And I think that goes back to the doctrine of Christ and what doctrine we're preaching today in our churches. You know, when you look at the New Testament, the scriptures, they were called to abandon everything. And there was nothing less accepted. And when you encounter God, truly encounter him, why wouldn't you want to? You know, so I think the lordship doctrine, theology today, that there's a misnomer about that, misunderstanding. I've heard it taught that, you know, people can get saved and then they are discipled into the lordship of Christ. Mm. I think there's a confusion on what sanctification is, you know, and it crosses into this understanding of lordship. But no, Jesus is Lord today. We're born again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're familiar with the analogy. You hear it a lot, the car analogy. I was driving the car of my life, and I realized Jesus, you know, if you're religious, Jesus was in the back seat, or he was never in the car. And I let him in that day. I got saved. And I realized Jesus has to be the driver. You know, I think it's a common used analogy, you know. But yes, Jesus is not only the driver of the car, and he takes us wherever's best. We don't always understand that Jesus also owns the car. He purchased it. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He created our heart. He created us. He gave us breath. We're possessed by him. We're owned by him. Our only response to that is, you lead, Lord, and I follow.
Amen.
I no longer have say in the direction in the course of my life. I only need to know what God has and submit to it. And I think, you know, we would view that as radical today, as a radical conversion, but yet that's a normal biblical conversion, as you pointed out.
Amen.
And was you going to say something, Jake?
No, I was just thinking total surrender. And nobody wants to totally surrender to, and they like to wiggle away from the altar sometimes. So.
Yeah. Now,
I think struggling with sin is one thing. Different struggles and things we deal with, you know, that God brings our attention, and we submit, we get consecrated in that area. We're having our minds renewed, our lives redirected, is one thing. But to understand who's on the throne of my heart and my life,
amen,
you know, is another thing, you know, because eternal life begins when we surrender and our knees hit the ground and our lives are placed in the hand of God, knowing I'm just falling on his mercy.
Amen.
You know, I'm totally. So can we not totally surrender our lives and call ourselves Christians, I guess, would be the question.
That's a good one.
And, you know, I guess from, like, when we talk about discipleship, and you've got a lot of experience under this, so I'm going to ask you this question while I got you. One of the questions I get most from people is like, well, where do I start? Like, Joe Schmo is going to start discipling Billy Bob. All right, he's going to become a disciple. You know, he's going to really start pouring into him. Billy Bob just got born again. Where does Joe Schmo start at? What's he start with?
Well, hopefully, you know, we use the word follow up, right? You know, let's say he met Billy Bob at the gym and he led him to the Lord. You know, he reached out to him at the local gym where he ran into him and shares his testimony, the gospel. Now he leads him to the Lord. Well, where would Jesus tell him? Jesus would say, follow me. And where did Jesus go? He went to the synagogue. And their practice, they went daily to the synagogue. So discipleship really begins with the Bible says that he places us in the body as it pleases him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're baptized into his church. Now, the scriptures there is referring to the universal church, but that's expressed in the local body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit's not going to lead us to outside of the church. He's going to lead us. You ever notice when there's genuine conversion, there becomes the internal desire. They want to go to church. They didn't want to do that 2 weeks ago. They weren't saved, but now they're born again, and they're like, hey, man. So the natural progression, the Holy Spirit inside of them is going to lead and guide in all truth. So to come alongside of the Holy Spirit and say, hey, man, now we're going to go to church. I want you to invite the guy out to church. You want to get him plugged into the local community. You know, so because he's going to be discipled, that's where the pastoral ministry gifts, I think, come in, the teaching gifts in the local church start coming in. You know, the maturation of the Ephesians chapter 4 says that these are gifts given of Christ to the church to help bring maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Know that they won't be tossed by every wind of doctrine to and fro. So those gifts are in the local church. And they need to be plugged into a local church. They can be certainly praying. You can start instructing them, here's what the word says. You know, they're water baptized. The ordinance is certainly and not conditioned. Their salvation is not conditioned on that, but they want to walk in all obedience and honor the Lord and make that public proclamation. So, but now they got to get into the body of Christ, be faithful, you know, be faithful into the vision there of that local church, and start being diligent, start looking for, secondly, start looking for opportunities to serve others, you know, and then fourthly, you know, thirdly, they're going to start learning to be disciples, disciplers themselves, that they're going to win souls too, and they're going to disciple others. But it has to start with them, and I think it starts with that relationship. Even if it's a distance relationship in travels where I've met people, led people to the Lord in places far from where I live. Until this day, there's different people I'm constantly texting. You know, prayed with a guy a few months ago. A guy was at the beach with my wife and kids, led him to the Lord. And, you know, I looked up a local church for him, did some research where it looked like a decent Bible-believing church, you know, where he could plug into. And so stay in touch with them so you can hand them off to the local fellowship is a big part for the evangelist. And for us as individuals to stay involved in their lives and really get them plugged into the local community where I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord really designed for discipleship to take place. The training grounds for the believer is the church, the boot camp, per se, you know.
Brother,
does that answer the question?
Yeah. Brother, this is Jacob. I just a quick question, because things I see different than a lot of people sometimes, or I see things across many churches, but I think I see a rising disconnect from the body to the leadership seems to be a lot lately at different places that I've been to or just watched. It's like the vision that the leadership has, but it seems like how do you get that across to the congregation? Like, especially people who's been, you know, it's like I feel like the enemy's got in, there's stagnant water. Like they're just, you know, everybody's going through the motions. It's kind of like Trump gets in there, and I feel like the body, it's just, okay, we got Trump in there, so let's, it's time to relax and let's put it on coast mode, you know, and I feel I see that a lot. And how to get people, hey, it's not time to relax. It's time to push while we have the opportunity that God has given us right now in this. And we can move forward and advance the kingdom even more now than we could ever. And God did answer our prayers, but it's not time to slow down and to relax. And I just see that happening in the body.
I think it's a valid concern. When you look at the scriptures, you know, it says in Timothy that in the last days, 1 Timothy 4, that there are going to be many given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And, you know, revival certainly is not going to happen until it does with each individual. The revival is me being revived in my church.
Yes.
And certainly that applies to the leadership.
Yes.
And I think today there is going to be a disconnect if the pastor's dealing with discontentment and insecurity about who he is in Christ and his call in Christ.
Yeah.
Not, you know, being content with what he has and measuring himself by his image of success and where he falls into that image and starting to pursue that, because now I need to use the church and the body for me to arrive at what I think is successful in order for me to be content, because I'm insecure about it. So unless I have this size church or this many programs, then I feel disqualified or not adequate, not enough. You know, so there, of course there's going to be a disconnect and a lack of vulnerability. You know, the Bible says that the shepherd lays down his life. his suke, you know, his life for the sheep. And I think that's a big problem today, because the word poimeno, it talks about feeding and leading when it's referring to a pastor. And unless we can rest in the integrity and the power of God's word in these last days, we're not going to be able to properly protect our minds and our hearts from deception.
Mm.
And these winds of doctrines that are coming in astronomically, you know, to the church. The devil's trying to get rid of the word.
It's true.
And but because the word is alive and it's powerful, and there's too much confidence in our own minds and our own personal thinking, too much self-assurance and self-confidence. And like we said, only the gospel is going to bring freedom. And I think, you know, there's churches that teach systematically through the scriptures, the Bible throughout the year. I certainly am a proponent of expository preaching. I know when I say that, I think we need to understand the hermeneutics, what the Bible is really saying. And, you know, what's it really saying? And the reason we want to arrive at what's really being said is so we can apply it, not consider it. And there's too much study, but too much considering. So, because that's where I think what Jesus said becomes really important. And I was looking at this passage earlier where he, you know, he says in Matthew 22, and this could maybe answer your question a little bit more, but he said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion." Mm. There's an example for us. "For you are not swayed by appearances." There you go.
Mm, that's good.
So who are we to, you know, look, we got to lay down our lives and our image. It's not about, you know, it's about building the flock. This is the bride of Christ. He loves his church. And the attitudes we have towards it, the attitudes we allow in it. And too many, you know, pastors feel like it's my job only to exposit the Bible, and the rest is between them and the Holy Spirit to figure out. I've done my job. I've studied. I've exposited 2 or 3 times a week. And yeah, the word is alive, and it'll speak to his sheep who hear his voice. But they shouldn't be left to wander in the flock. You know, it's up to them. Let's look at Ephesians. Let's take a controversial subject, unfortunately. Wives, submit to your husbands in all things. Okay. You know, there's abuses of that passage. But you got pastors who's scared to death to deal with the subject.
Yeah.
You know, not only for their personal concerns and how their family might not be operating orderly, but the fear of, in a culture that's pretty anti-Christ when it comes to the family, and some people don't like me even saying that, but it's not. It's a matriarchal country we've evolved into culturally.
Yeah. That's true.
And when you bring it back to the word, you got a pastor who's scared to death how people might respond. Why? His appearances. I'm going to appear to be a harsh pastor. Nobody asked you what your appearance is. God's asking you to obey and teach the full counsel of the word, and trust that his sheep are going to hear the word of God and lay down your life in your fear of the faces of men, like it says here. And don't stand in between the word of God and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to the things that need to be dealt with. Don't tell them to go home and pray about if you guys should obey the Bible. Go home and pray about if you should submit to your husband. Go home and pray. Go home and pray about if you should be the head of your home. Fathers, you know, things that are very clear in the scripture, it seems like when we come to application, we cringe and we run the other direction, and we spiritualize it by trying to put it off on the Holy Spirit. And these are clearly biblical roles and jobs given for the pastor. Yeah. You know, so that's part of the disconnect, and we're not protecting the people properly from these deceptions that are going to come into the church. We leave people flailing instead of really taking the authority that the pastor has and just saying, here's what the word says, man. I'm not going to apologize for it. So how do you bring that disconnect? You start teaching on the subject. Hmm. You start, you know, holding them by the hand. That's what I've seen good pastors do. Just say, here's what the word says. Yeah, you guys might not like it. Here's what the Bible says about church government. Here's what it says about the family. Here's what's going to honor God. These aren't my words. This is the word of God. Well, this so-and-so might not like it, and this deacon board might not like it. It's okay. God can give you, then kick them out and bring you another deacon board. And we just won't let the chips fall. So many times it's the leader standing in the way, and God wants to purge that and bring a revival in their own heart and life and bring them back to the simplicity of Christ and the doctrine of Christ.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more that could be said. You opened up a big one there.
I feel like God is trying to restructure things the way it's supposed to be. And I feel like he's bringing things into fullness, because the body needs to be where we need to bring out the fullness of God. Because I feel like we put people in who, across the country, you see pastors, you know, every day, it seems like constantly happening. And I just feel like God is doing something. I think he's raising up some to be put into positions that he's kept quiet for a long time. It's kind of like the ones that they were, the prophets that were fed, that were kept in the cave that Elijah didn't know about. You know, I told him, I said, I think it's time that God's calling forth the ones that he has, and then he's calling forth the ones that are in position in other places that, hey, you wasn't put here by God. You were put here by man.
Those are called hirelings.
Yeah. Hmm.
And you can tell, you know, hireling, because when it comes, they flee under the pressure. They don't apply the word. They just abandon the sheep. They'll speak, they'll exposit their sermons, and they abandon them, and they'll leave them hanging to sort it out themselves, because they're scared of their image and reputation. That's a hireling.
Mm.
And the Bible says, what can be shaken, it will be shaken. And then the judgment is coming. Peter says it first begins where?
In the house of God.
In the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So God's going to purge and purify his bride, because he's coming back for what type of bride?
Spotless.
One without spot.
Or blemish. Yeah. Amen.
Well, we are out of time, Brother Waleed. I love it. I love it. So much truth. We can keep going for another hour. But yeah, unfortunately, we are out of time. God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much. I will be getting in touch with you soon. I promise. All right.
Anytime, brother.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you for the honor, guys. God bless.